It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Don't shake your head. I'm not done yet. Wait till you hear the whole thing so you can understand this now.
Hello there, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. This show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com. We need to put some stuff up on that.
We do. The man's voice who's you just heard is one of the few people in this building that didn't cut work to watch basketball, Mr. Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
Is your alma mater, they're still in it, right?
Yes, they are. They'll be playing again tomorrow.
They defeated New Mexico, and, yeah. And who are they playing tomorrow, do we know?
VCU, I think.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. And, of course, I want to thank Kobe Slagle for producing last night's television extravaganza, which
it was on
channel. It was on Channel 20. I got to host the pledge breaks for Joe Bonamassa. Joe Bonamassa's coming to town in May. When it gets a little closer, we'll talk about that.
But on what show?
On Film Sociology and the Blues House Party. Why wouldn't I talk about them on both? So, yeah, there's that. All right, we have some guests in studio. Making her film sociology debut, one of the staff writers and culinary queen of the Indianapolis Star, Jolene Katzenberger. How are you, Jolene?
I'm fine, Matt. Thanks a lot.
Did I hit the proper titles?
I think so.
It's Shazam, the business card, and of course, she does.
There's a food writer.
If you pick up, the Star today, and you check out Taste, you can see her work there. Well, and of course, her hardest job, being married to John. John knows I said this. Well, he didn't know I actually said those words, but he knew I would say something like that.
Something like that.
So, hey, John. And, of course, we have a gentleman in studio who, well, he has his own intro music.
Lawrence of Arabia. He's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia. Doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music.
To it?
It's music.
Hey, I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you
doing? There are no words to that. Did you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Hi, Mike Perry.
They said the same thing about the Star Wars theme, but Bill Murray proved them.
We'll have to work on that segment of songs that don't have words but do. Mike Perry, the director of On-Air Branding and Development. How are you, sir?
I am just fine. I'm full of bison and Scotty's beer and ready to talk movies.
Wow. Yes. Did you bring any for the rest of the class? She brought lemon bars. What's your excuse?
Oh, yeah.
We also have to work on Buffet Friday, apparently.
Yeah.
Now, what were you ranting about, Kobe? What's your food of choice over there? You like the
Schumann Special,
which is
that, of course, is the burger with peanut butter, bacon, cheese, and jalapenos. It sounds disgusting.
Oh no!
It is unbelievable.
I am with you up until the jalapenos.
They do
bad things to me, and for the good of mankind, yeah. I choose.
It is incredible.
But yeah,
it was unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. It's quite good. So wow.
Yeah, I'm no longer man enough for something like that.
Oh, my
back
goodness.
In the day, I could inhale jalapenos, but man, the older you get, the more they just beat up on you.
Yeah, it's true. They're bad things happen. So, but there are variations of that. I know the Triple X has up in Lafayette. Yet as their version of that. I forget what it's called.
I don't know.
It's named after a football player who went to Purdue. And Boogie
Purvis?
Burger. What is it?
Dwayne Purvis Burger? Perhaps.
Look at this.
Perhaps?
See? Look it up, Kobe. That's why you're here.
I'm on it.
You're not actually Googling actresses from the 60s. You're now doing actual food information on the film show. because that's what we do. All right. Well, while Kobe's checking that out. Oh, by the way, shameless plug. Neil Simon's Rumors happening tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow at 3 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. at Scottish Rite Cathedral. That's 650 North Meridian Street. You can call 262-3100 for ticket information. Plenty of seats. It seats 1,000. I'd love to fill it. But it's a fun Neil Simon farce directed by yours truly. So that's we're enjoying that very much. You have an update?
Yes, sir,
they're dying to know.
Sandwiches named in Purvis's honor has been a favorite for many years at the Triple X Diner near the Purdue campus. The all-beef burger is topped with standard onions, lettuce, and pickle, but it stands out with a slab of peanut butter on the bottom bun.
Boy, that's good eats, and that's a different
that
show.
That sounds so wrong. It's good.
Oh, no, sweet and salty.
It is incredible.
I'm telling you.
It is unreal.
Chocolate-covered bacon, anyone?
Of course, they probably said the same thing about chocolate and peanut butter, you know?
I think that was a commercial. Yeah. Two people in the hallway bumping into each other. Because I often walk the hallways with a jar of peanut butter in my hand.
I actually tried some chocolate-covered bacon the other day.
Chocolate-covered bacon is good. Oh. Bacon fudge, that's good. You
know, maple bacon.
Bacon fudge?
Maple bacon fudge, yeah.
Which you can have all year round,
no,
fool.
No, you can't.
All right, Jolene, I'm sorry. We're going to get to the film portion of the film show in a little bit.
This is good. This is good because we have an official...
We have an ongoing debate about this.
About what?
Somebody is wrong in thinking that fudge is a seasonal treat.
I don't think it's just for Christmas, if that's what you're talking about.
Oh,
you can have
God.
Fudge. You can have fudge year-round, especially if it has bacon in it.
It may be more prevalent around the holidays.
There's no question
like
that it's more
candy
prevalent.
Canes. But,
you cannot sit
but
there
you
and
can
say,
have fudge, you can have peppermint fudge. Anytime you want. Right.
Who's brought in fudge at least once a month now to prove you wrong? That would be this
guy.
I've
not gotten any fudge this month.
Matt, oh, you'll get yours.
In the middle of March.
You'll
no
get yours.
No fudge for Kobe yet.
It's, you know
you
what? We still got 2 weeks.
You cannot sit there and say that fudge is not more prevalent around the holidays.
That's not
it
what
is
you
absolutely...
said. You called it a seasonal treat, as if you
yes.
can only have it for this one season and no other time.
Okay, like eggnog is a seasonal treat. Fudge is not. Fudge is a year-round.
There are baristas, however, that have eggnog syrup all over their stores.
Oh, but not the real eggnog.
No, well, we got to work on that.
We'll be back to more fudge talk right after this.
All right, so let's...
Followed by Rush Talk here on HD2.
We have great show ideas that would air maybe once if we were lucky. All right, opening in theaters. You can hear a review of this film after this show on Fresh Air on WFYI. The Will Ferrell, Gael Garcia Bernal film
one.
Casa de Mi Padre,
no.
A Spanish action comedy, I believe. Yes, Will Ferrell
doing
Spanish.
I saw a trailer for this last weekend, and that was the first thing I'd ever heard about it.
Well, now you know.
Yeah.
I believe it was from the director that worked on his The Funny or Die shorts with Will Ferrell. We have Jeff, who lives at home with Jason Segel, Ed Helms, Judy Greer, and No Muppets. We have Rampart, which is a dirty cop film with Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster, re-teaming up, and actually... Also, the director of The Messenger, they all work together, and of the new comedy, and I give it credit, I haven't seen it, but I'll give it credit for it being an R-rated remake spoof of 21 Jump Street with Mr. Tatum and Mr. Hill.
Academy Award nominated. Yes, we live
Jonah
in
Hill.
That world.
Yeah,
now.
I know. We do. We do indeed. However, I do want to talk about, and Kobe, what's opening next week?
Hunger Games.
Somebody read the book.
Yes.
Somebody's all excited.
I am yet.
You're not going to skip on the show next week to go watch it.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay, good. And by the way, according to the paper, and Jolene, I'm going to get to this in a second, Tibbs Drive-In says opens March 23rd. Well, it says open March 23rd to Hunger Games. I thought, are they promoting the movie because the drive-in likes the movie, or are they saying that we're also opening March 23rd and we're getting the Hunger Games? But I look in the paper, Jolene, the Indianapolis Star, and I see wire reviews by Roger Moore and Stephen Ray. What, Robbie Coltrane wasn't available?
Apparently not.
Timothy Dalton? No?
Apparently not.
Not happening? No? Richard Harris would, but he's dead. So anyway.
But not even Jared Harris?
Now, Jared Harris would be cool. I think Jared Harris as a staff writer would be very cool. We'll have to work on that. See all these great suggestions that nobody will listen to?
That's exactly right.
Right. Okay, we're going to move on to a film that is opening because it's, and it, guess what? It's in a theater on the north side, which is okay, but it is a film version of Shakespeare's very, very infrequently done play.
Obscure. It's obscure.
Coriolanus, and it stars and is directed and produced by Ralph Fiennes. You also have Jessica Chastain, Brian Cox, Gerard Butler, and Vanessa Redgrave, all doing Shakespeare-type stuff, because it's Shakespeare. Here's a trailer.
My name is Caius Marcius Coriolanus.
If ever again I meet him, he's mine, or I am his.
To our noble consul, Coriolanus.
Heavens bless my lord and husband.
You are a traitor to the people.
Right. Call me traitor.
Marcius is worthy of death!
Against my country.
And then men die.
You are not my son.
Coriolanus has grown from man to dragon.
Make you a sword!
Sweet as my revenge.
We were talking off air about grills, because that's what we do here at the film show.
It's all about food today.
It really is. But no, I say there is a series that you go through. You go through the little hibachi. Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, you have to start with that.
You go through the bigger hibachi. Mm-hmm. Then you get these small, what I call the small black Astrodome grill, and then you get the big black Astrodome grill, and then hopefully, next step for me with the new house is the brick altar in the backyard where large animals will be.
No big green egg. Oh, that was the next.
Ooh, or a fire pit. I want stuff that I could have to food that I have to bury underground overnight. That would be awesome, with banana leaves. Okay, back to the film show. I have to give props to Ralph Fiennes for not only directing and starring and producing this, but the fact that as Jolene made reference to, this is not a Shakespeare play. I don't think IRT is doing this anytime soon.
You didn't read this one in high school.
No, you did, unless you were a complete stage nerd. Hello. And it's funny because Fiennes being bald in this one, I think it's going to throw people off, because you can see him with his nose in this one compared to the last few films we've seen Ralph Fiennes in. The main thing about this film, and it's a tragedy, so I think spoiler alerts are kind of a moot point when it's a Shakespearean tragedy. But in this one, he plays a soldier that, he was not meant to be in politics. We'll put it that way. I don't want to give too much away about this. There's some athletes that really shouldn't coach. Hi, Magic. Hi, Ted Williams. You know that's true. And there are some soldiers that really don't have a future in politics. And the fact that that Fiennes' character is kind of pushed into this with one of the all-time great moms, played by Vanessa Redgrave, everybody in this film is very, very solid. I think what might throw people off is the fact that, one, it's not widely known. And even by Shakespeare fans, it's not widely known. The fact that it is modern setting, and there's a lot of soldiers and actually really clever use of newscasters. I mean, and Romeo and Juliet, Baz Luhrmann's version, did that a little bit at the beginning and a little bit at the end. But this one kind of uses it throughout, as far as being a chorus, moving the story along. I did show this to the smarter two-thirds, and yeah, the kids' film correspondent kind of tapered off after about 10 minutes. So she's seen Hamlet, so she's all right. It's not bloody. Really?
Was it, this isn't going to end good.
No, she said that at Hamlet. Well, Mommy's not in Coriolanus, even though I think she could play the mother. And yes, I cast my wife in all sorts of things. Let's move on. But
and they do theater together, too.
We try. She's equity, I'm not. And it's a sitcom. So, wow. Anyway. But no, go check it out. Give it a chance. Solid performance. And Brian Cox gets to play a nice guy. And this is, what, the 12th film Jessica Chastain's done in the last year. And actually, good work from Gerard Butler, which can happen when you actually picked a good script. This isn't The Bounty Hunter or Gamer or Law Abiding Citizen or The Ugly Truth or The Awful Truth or god-awful movie you did with Katherine Heigl. So, yeah, kudos to him on this and for everybody else. So not since Julie Taymor's Titus has there been a big-budget film that maybe people aren't that familiar with. Go give it a shot.
Now, that was a good movie.
It was. So, and we got a couple other notes. This is in Nouveau News Weekly. And I love this. It's labeled Chuck Workman Retrospective, but it's not, of course, the jazz columnist and my colleague over at Nouveau. But at IU Cinema, they are showing a work of the documentary filmmaker. So you can go to cinema.indiana.edu for films like Superstar, The Source, and Visionaries. So nice avant-garde work there. All right, we're going to take a short break. And wait a minute! I should say, Mr. Perry. Usually, yes. You're usually in the catching up department, which I need. What have you seen anything recently?
Well, I haven't been to the cinema as much lately because I've been packing for the big move.
And where is the big move?
To Fisher's.
Oh gosh, you're gonna be near him.
That's right.
He's gonna ask for a cup of sugar.
He's like,
and eggs, and a whisk.
Yeah, I've got a whisk. Shut up.
Do you really?
But I did manage to make it in to see Wanderlust last
week. How was that? Because that didn't last very long here in town.
It didn't last very long. It's not the best picture out of the Apatow stable, but it's definitely got its moments.
Now, is he producing or writing?
He's one of the producers.
Okay, all right. So it's not 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Right. I can't remember the gentleman's name. I'm sure you'll refresh me, but the one who did Wet Hot American Summer.
Ah, yes. Okay. Yeah, that guy.
He and Paul Rudd, this is one of their projects. And Paul Rudd plays an uncomfortable Paul Rudd character in this.
So what else is new? That's like Neurotica Ben Stiller.
He's one of the best actors to watch in an uncomfortable situation. Him and Steve Carell do this type of stuff really well, where he just digs himself a hole with what he's saying, and you just keep waiting for him to come out of it, and he just never does. And Jennifer Aniston was great in this movie.
When I saw Jennifer Aniston and Nudist Colony, I got excited, but it's...
Well, it's not just technically a nudist colony. It's a colony...
Of openness?
With some nudists.
Ah, big diff. Sorry, I'm a pig.
But still, you get the obligatory shock scenes where you see some fleeting full frontal, and...
Julian, I'm apologizing
in advance
for the dorm room here.
I mean, it's just there to make you go, oh, you don't see that in a movie very often.
Unless you're Michael Fassbender.
Yes. Not a great comedy, but not a bad one. It's nice to see Alan Alda in the comedy again. And like I said, Jennifer Aniston, it's nice to see her doing what she's really good at. This is basically a sitcom script.
Okay. Well, but, if it's a well-done sitcom script, then there's nothing wrong with that.
I enjoyed the movie.
Okay. So we'll have to look for it.
Yeah, we'll look for it when it comes out on DVD next week.
Wow, quick.
Well, if it's out of theaters after a couple of weeks.
That's true. Okay, Jolene?
Yes?
Have you seen anything recently?
You know, I really haven't, Matt.
You've been busy.
I've been busy. I've been cooking all day. I've been cooking.
So. This is not why we brought her on the show, right, by the way.
I don't think you asked me here before my film knowledge.
It's
because
true.
It's pretty non-existent.
Absolutely. We're going to work on that. We will work on that in the next.
It's going to take a lot of work.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray, as well as some old titles on DVD and Blu-ray. I'm sure Kobe will have his two cents about anything. And we will go into the archives to talk about a film that you could burn for $20.
I'll burn it for like $5.
All right. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Oh, thank you, Kobe. And thank you, Wesley Willis. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Or as we're calling it this week, Food, Fudge, and Films. It sounds like a Guy Fieri.
I don't have enough rings or hair color to do Guy Fieri things.
Or as we're calling it this week, Triple F.
Wow. Let's move on. WFYI.org is also where you can listen online. Shows available as a podcast and on iTunes. And Jolene Katzenberger and Mike Perry are hanging out, as well as Kobe Slagle and myself. And, of course, tonight at 7:30 and then tomorrow at 3 and 7:30 p.m., Rumours at Scottish Rite Cathedral. No, it's not a play or a musical about Fleetwood Mac, as much as Melissa would like that. Melissa Davis are... our neighbor next door. Anyway, 262-3100 for ticket information. And I have to retract something. I was wrong. I usually admit when I'm wrong in any subject, but you know what? Sometimes if you actually just read the paper as opposed to looking at the paper, Wonderlust is still in theaters.
Oh, okay.
Well, at least it is at Glendale, which is the only theater that really runs. Well, that's not true. There's one other theater that runs ads in the paper, so we like that. I actually like to have paper in my hands, thus the stack of recyclables in front of me. So anyway,
well, check out Wonderlust.
It was not for naught. So,
speaking of things that are still in theaters, and we've heard from two people now that we didn't think that I think we were both surprised.
Yes, Kobe.
John Carter is still in the theaters, and we heard from somebody last night who
also liked it, even though it's apparently dropping money like a stone. So. See it while you can.
Yeah.
People jumping around in Mars.
I've been waiting to get out to see it. Maybe I'll have to squeeze in an early morning thing tomorrow.
Unfortunately, we live in a world now where first weekend receipts are more important than they really should be, and it kind of hit below the bar big time. So go look at that. All right. Now, Kobe is, I know, collecting money for the George Clooney Defense Fund in lieu of today's news today.
That was news. I did not know that.
That's why you're here at Public Radio and Public Television. Mm-hmm. So, which is kind of perfect. Not saying it's a ploy to promote his new film that's on DVD and Blu-ray this week, but it is The Descendants. No, we're not going to nickname it the film that we nicknamed it when Lou Harry was in studio, Kobe. If you don't know what I'm talking about, ask me later. I won't say it again. But
you can find the podcast on iTunes.
Oh, or the highlight reel from last year. Okay. But yeah, this was the film that was number three. It was number three on my best 10 list. And I think Clooney, do they have a runner up at the Academy Awards? Because I think Clooney would have won that for best actor this year. Nothing wrong with that. Really strong work from Clooney as a man who finds out that his wife, who's in a coma, is having an affair, had an affair. And he's got to raise the kids on his own. And there's Judy Greer, Matthew Lillard, and Robert Forster. Fun stuff there. But it's also adapted and directed by Alexander Payne. Payne won an Academy Award for his adaptation of the screenplay, so kudos to that. But it's a really good drama about choices that that a disheveled and disheveled George Clooney is still heads and tails above, well, me. But also the fact that it does break down that yes, even though it's paradise, quote unquote, and it's in Hawaii, where you have those Hawaiian burger.
That Hawaiian burger joint.
We love Big Kahuna Burger for you fans of Pulp Fiction.
Now that's a tasty burger.
That is a tasty burger. It is Sprite. So it's also food and just dropping film quote Friday here. Anyway, but it does break down that, yes, even bad things, even real-life situations happen in quote-unquote paradise. So if you didn't see it in theaters, go check it out now on DVD and Blu-ray. Excellent film. Well, we're checking out. Do you got a response over there?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes!
Okay, while we're on the subject of nominated films, My Week with Marilyn. I think you could also say Michelle Williams, runner-up.
Yeah.
Some people would say place, some people would say show in the Best Actress category.
I think the shocker was that Viola Davis didn't win.
Who called Meryl Streep?
Yeah.
That would be me. It's the only one I got right.
I was rooting for Marilyn.
You weren't really going out on a limb there with Meryl Streep, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, she hadn't won in 30 years, so.
Well, yeah, but it's Meryl Streep. I mean, you know.
Well, it's funny because I remember Matt Lauer, morning show genius, who said, I think, said a couple of years ago, well, you know, when Meryl Streep's nominated, you might as well forget it. No, actually, you don't forget it. She's won three times out of 17. That's bad in basketball. That's bad in baseball and kind of bad if you're Tebow in the first three quarters of a football game. But it's okay when it's the Academy Awards. Anyway.
And I like to antagonize.
You mean the possibility of Peyton Manning being in Denver? I didn't come up with that.
No, you didn't.
No. Nope. Let's move on, shall we? My Week with Marilyn stars Michelle Williams, who got a nomination, and depending on who you talk to, could be second or third, or some people's top choice, as Marilyn Monroe, and her encounters with a young lad working on the film.
Now that was a good movie.
That's what I thought.
I haven't said that.
That's what I thought.
Is that what you thought?
Yeah, I liked it.
You saw My Week in Marilyn.
Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah.
But do you remember? All right, then. What was the film that they were shooting at the time, genius, since you interrupted me with your sound clip?
Some Like It Hot.
No. Laurence Olivier was not in Some Like It Hot.
I don't know.
Prince and the Showgirl.
Mm. Yeah, totally didn't. Yeah.
Great. Can I get back to the show?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, thank you.
How's that fudge?
How are your brackets, by the way? No.
I'm doing pretty well.
Okay.
Doing pretty good.
All right. But anyway, Michelle Williams is solid in this. Kenneth Branagh got a nomination, well-deserved, as Laurence Olivier, which is kind of fun because those who remember when Henry V came out that he was supposed to be the next heir to Sir Larry, and it sort of happened and sort of not. You know what? Laurence Olivier didn't direct Frankenstein, but then again, he appeared in The Betsy and The Jazz Singer. Whew. You've jotten these down? And taking names while we're at it. fun little kind of backstage drama. And what really works is, I think the performance by Michelle Williams is better than the film as a whole. Mm-hmm. Same could be said for Meryl Streep and the Iron Lady. But I think over the years, people have tried to play the personification of Marilyn. And I know there was the one that had Ashley Judd and Mira Sorvino, and I wish I had written that, or Solomon King. But in this one, she does both as one person. She knows that she's putting on a show as opposed to imitating Marilyn Monroe. So that is out now. So go check that out. Do you have audio there?
Now that was a good movie.
Yes, it was. Okay, I'm going to get flack from this from my friend Marianne and from Stacy here at the station. But also out on DVD and Blu-ray this week is one of the finer wedding / end of the world pictures ever made, Lars von Trier's Melancholia.
Oh, man, I just wanted to kill myself.
You saw that as well, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Lars von Trier, one of my favorites. He's not necessarily my favorite director because of the movies he makes, but I think it's the response that he gets from an audience. Very polarizing. I don't know anybody that finds Lars von Trier to be mediocre.
No.
Something cool about that. This is the one with Kirsten Dunst and Kiefer Sutherland and John Hurt, as well as Charlotte Rampling. Mm-hmm. And it's a first half of the film is a wedding, which, as we've seen with a lot of weddings, and by the way, Lars von Trier had a great wedding sequence in Breaking the Waves. It's kind of like The Deer Hunter, where, you know, to quote Emma, this isn't going to end good. When you have a 30, 45-minute wedding sequence, it's just only going to go downhill from there. And Dunst plays a young woman who's, it's her big wedding day, it's the most important day in her life, and, well, she's got doubts, and she's a magazine rack filled with issues and problems with her parents and problems with the sister and problems with the groom and
problems with the dress,
and everything else. And if that wasn't enough, the end of the world is coming around the same time. So date film, not
absolutely,
a first date
right,
film,
right.
But a date film.
Uplifting.
It is uplifting compared to, well, you know what? I saw Lars von Trier's last film before this, Antichrist, and yeah, this one's Mary Poppins by comparison. And I don't recommend Antichrist really for the squeamish, but compared to Breaking the Waves, Dogville, Dancer in the Dark, and Mandalay, yeah, I enjoyed this for all of its non-subtleties whatsoever. So you're not going to watch it again, right, Mike?
Oh no, no. But yeah, I say this. With the knowledge that I did ask my fiance before we went to see this movie.
You warned her.
No. I asked her to marry me before we went to this movie.
Oh.
But
the end of the world has not happened.
If you were looking, I mean, if your girlfriend was dropping too many hints about getting married, this is the movie you take her to see.
There you go. So make a note of that, folks.
It'll put it off for a little while, because after I watch this movie, you know, Vegas sounds like a real good idea.
Because the sun won't hit, or whatever. Unless you send Bruce Willis and his cronies.
I mean, the wedding half of the movie is, you're looking forward to the end of the world after. It just seemed to go on.
Well, don't most weddings, except
that's
for your own.
Some are like that, right?
Yeah, except for your own.
Yeah.
You ever been asked to watch other people's wedding photos or videos?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You ever did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I refuse. I refuse. I was there. I know how. I know how it turns out. They're made out of people.
The end.
Yeah, exactly. No, I remember on my wedding I had at the Indianapolis Yacht Club. I had a sign as you entered the place saying the following cliches will not happen here. The tinking of the glass and the bouquet toss and no Garth Brooks or Macarena or Chicken Dance or any of that nonsense.
You didn't do the Chicken Dance?
Absolutely not. Thousands of weddings do it. Why should mine be just like theirs?
I did the Chicken Dance.
Was it fun?
I don't think I remember.
Wow.
It was one of those weddings. You know, it's all a blur.
Wow, it was an Albee play. That's cool. And I said at the bottom, I said, if you abide by these rules, I will not ask you to watch the video or look at pictures. It worked. But the world, you know, it's not ending. The world keeps on turning. Turn. All right. Do you have a response there? Are you working?
That's a tough one for me.
I know it is.
Press
yourself.
Let's see. I'm going to say...
We don't have a so-so one, do we?
No.
Although I liked it. I did like it as much as you can like a wedding.
It's a very well done movie.
Yeah.
Here we go. We've got the of course the.
No, he doesn't get tortured, and the beaver's not Jewish. So.
Okay.
However,
I'll see it anyway.
All right. However.
See it anyway.
Oh, is that what that labeled as?
Yeah.
See it anyway.
Oh, cool.
See, you're.
I've got my own clip now, too.
Hey, you were in the highlight reel.
Oh, that's a. That, oh, yeah, there's. A, you've got a couple on here.
Yeah, we have the whole, you know, if Rashida Jones was ever in Richmond, That's on there. You're Here for Sammy Terry. Uh-huh. Okay. Always good. So, all right, let's move on. This was a film. Next is a film that, two films actually, that were talked about getting Academy Award nominations and didn't happen. And rightly so, I'm not sure. But the first one is Young Adult. And this is the reteaming of Jason Reitman and Diablo Cody, who, of course, is the director and writer of Juno. And this one stars Charlize Theron, Academy Award winner Charlize Theron, as a writer who goes back to her small Minnesota hometown to get back her high school boyfriend, who's happily married and has just become a new father. Now, in this one, she, of course, was the very popular prom queen from hell, and now she's coming back. Even though she looks fabulous and she's living in the big city of Minneapolis, her life is a bit of a shambles. And she also winds up developing a strange friendship, although a lot of it Liquid-related, with a classmate who she didn't really acknowledge ever, even though they had lockers next to each other, played by Patton Oswalt. And I will say, I know Juno was also, I think, another love-hate film. And there's not the Diablo Cody language that, right, that, of course, is in Juno. But it does deal with, I like the use of what has happened to these characters since high school. There's a few easy pot shots, low-hanging fruit, such as the small town that gets suburbanized. You know, it's a big deal when a Chili's opens in this town, or a Chipotle, or a Best Buy. That's addressed a little bit. But especially with the Oswalt character, as a kid who suffered a very humiliating and life-changing injury due to bullies in his school, and what has happened to him since. And there was a part of me that wondered if this was going to go down a bad Santa path or a bad teacher path with Charlize Theron. And for the most part, it doesn't, although it has moments of that.
But that's how it was marketed.
It was marketed as that, as this just, you know, completely despicable but gorgeous character that's just going to plow through anybody or anything in her path. And it almost happens, but not quite. And yeah, part of that helps this film. The fact that you are actually rooting for this girl to have something good come out of her life. So I'll give it that. And, of course, it was fun because I know Patton Oswalt and Albert Brooks had fun tweeting about not getting nominated for their work. But anyway, I think it did polarize. I think a lot of people were kind of turned off by the nastiness feel to Young Adult. But I'd say go rent it. It's worth checking out. Oh, jeez. How about I just move on?
Okay.
I know we're trying to give ratings or at least responses, but, you know, we're all here. The other one is The Adventures of Tintin, the first of two films directed by Steven Spielberg. This is one that a lot of people thought was going to get in for animation, and it didn't. And it's live action movement, but there's animation put on top, and so.
Is it kind of like Scanner Darkly?
Kind of like Scanner Darkly. Yeah, that's actually a very good comparison. You saw Scanner Darkly?
I did not see it,
but
I know
of it.
Yes.
Film show producer right there, folks. And this is one, and this was a character the stories I didn't know. I knew the image. I knew the kid with the flip hair, who was voiced by Jamie Bell in this one. And it's kind of a rollicking adventure. Because it's directed by Steven Spielberg, I'm sure there'll be references to The Lost Ark. It takes about 15 minutes or so to get into it, because if you're not familiar with The Adventures of Tintin, you're thinking, okay, he's a reporter, and he's got a dog, and he's shooting guns, but he looks like he's 12, especially with the flip hair and the voice of Billy Elliot. Seriously, you look at these pictures, I'm like,
he's got that, there's something about Mary hair going for him.
But it's not done because of that gel, as far as we know. Okay. But anyway, it was also shot in 3D. I actually can't believe I'm saying this. I probably would have liked to have seen this in 3D in theaters, although there is a 3D Blu-ray if you have a 3D television, so take that for what it's worth. But also Andy Serkis is a part of this film, as well as Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. So
love Simon Pegg.
well, then you should go rent this. They have a small part, and they had something to do with the writing. So, and there were moments in this that obviously you could not make live action. It would be cheaper to make these kind of. I think if these live action, if these action sequences happened in real life, it would look like The Expendables or Red or Machete or something. Not quite intestine use like Machete, but anyway, it's a fun time. Kids film correspondent enjoyed it, so that is out there as well, and
also an art film.
It is also an art film. All of Spielberg's films are art, and Peter Jackson produces. And Happy Feet 2 came out. I didn't see it, but also The Three Musketeers, directed by Paul, not director of Boogie Nights, Anderson. Paul W.S. Anderson. I can't believe I watched this.
I really wanted to watch. I really wanted to like this movie.
Well.
And I just couldn't.
My problem is, of course, I directed a stage version of Three Musketeers back in 2010, and I missed this when it came out in theaters because it came and went at the same time and kind of for good reason. Let's see. Not the director I would think of, not the actress I would think of, because where you have Paul Anderson, you have Mila Jovovich, who's playing Milady in this one. It's shot in 3D. In theaters, there are slow-mo, over-the-top action scenes that would make John Woo and Sam Peckinpah say, hey, come on, guys, speed it up. Now, there's a couple of good casting choices. I like Matthew McFadden as Aramis, or as Athos. Christoph Waltz doesn't chew enough scenery for me as Cardinal Richelieu, but he's still pretty good in it.
He held back.
And a lot of people are giving Orlando Bloom a lot of flack because he's playing the Duke of Buckingham, who apparently is the villain in this story, in coots with Milady. Okay, that's not really book-like. If you're Orlando Bloom and you haven't played a villain yet, of course you're going to play it. So I'm sorry, folks, but Pirate series is done. He wasn't in the last Pirates film. Let him do other things. And there are storylines that are familiar to the novel, which I actually read before doing the play. That being said, I guess that there's one thing I can sum this up best, and it's flying ships.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not since the Mechanical Spiders in Wild Wild West have I seen such a ludicrous visual in a period piece action film. Flying ships. Several flying ships. And by the way, there's no fun with the Musketeers, except for Porthos, who embraces life, but These are kind of dour, sullen. These Musketeers listen to the Doors. Let's just put it that way. And you know what? I'm surprised the music isn't in this because there was a Knight's Tale. But that's another film at another time. So anyway, yeah.
Why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay.
But apparently flying ships are not cool.
With
well,
a P.
In the
they
proper
can be.
Context, I thought they were cool in Stardust.
Yes.
Robert De Niro's flying ship, I thought was very cool.
Yes.
But that was a different type of
that was a
film.
Fantasy
was
as opposed
fantasy
to
film.
the sword buckling action that is the Three Musketeers. It's swashbuckling, I know. We already went through this. So, yeah, that was kind of sad. All right, some titles that are out on Blu-ray. Ask the question, would you buy this on Blu-ray? And the first title I bring up, I am going to buy on Blu-ray because it just makes people angry.
I've been meaning to buy Jackie Brown on Blu-ray.
You know what? I'm gonna suggest you wait on that, sir.
Why?
Because I'm really.
Do you know something?
I know lots of things, but in this particular case, I think it's out.
But
I think it is the exact same thing that you would get on DVD. I am really hoping that someday somebody will shove Tarantino into a studio and do a commentary track for one thing. But the other reason is. I wouldn't be surprised if Rolling Thunder eventually does a special treatment with all those. Case in point, Kill Bill. I've never bought Kill Bill 1 or 2, and I haven't even bought it on DVD because there's always been a long-standing rumor that they were going to release this giant bloody package with both films. So I would say hold out. That's just me.
Jackie Brown kicks ass.
Jackie Brown is a great film, and she is amazing in it. But the first film coming out by Criterion this week, Martin Scorsese's The Last Temptation of Christ. You can have Mel Gibson's version. I'll take Scorsese's version. It just makes people angry. Now, like most biblical films, it's a little long. It's a lot of material to cover. You could probably shave half an hour off. And by the way, the crucifixion scene, shorter than Gibson's, just as brutal. Or as Ed Johnsonot, my colleague over at Nuvo, referred to it, the opening line of his review, a biblical snuff film. Scorsese's is not. No. All right. No. Ralph Bashke's Wizards, if you're into adult grown-up animation. So the man who gave us Fritz the Cat. Yep. Jolene, do you know any of Ralph?
Right.
Okay. College.
And The Adventures of Mighty Mouse. Let's be fair.
Oh, okay. Hey, cool. Which ones did you see in school?
I don't remember, man. Really?
All right. For some reason, the Harold and Kumar double features on Blu-ray, as is both Under Siege films, as is True Romance and Natural Born Killers, because they were both written by Quentin Tarantino, Dumb and Dumber and the Mask, because Jim Carrey needs the help, Body of Lies and Three Kings, because they're military films, Bite the Bullet. Remember that one? It's Gene Hackman, Candice Bergen.
Okay.
The Western version of Cannonball Run, even though this came first. Demetrius and the Gladiators, Robin Hood, the Ridley Scott version with Russell Crowe.
Okay.
And his also not Band of Merry Men. They were also listening to the Doors.
Pretty dour men.
Very sad men. And Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Downtrader. All right. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk with Jolene Katzenberger and with Mike Perry, and we'll check in with Kobe, and we'll go into the archives. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Robert Irvine, and you're listening to Film Sociology, WFI in Indianapolis.
Ta-da. Welcome back to Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Sozzi, hanging out with Jolene Katzenberger, the Indianapolis Star, Mike Perry at WFYI, and Kobe Slagle at WFYI. Jolene, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Matt. I'm doing all right.
We appreciate you coming in, having to deal with all this silliness. Now, besides, first off, thank you for the lemon bars.
You're welcome.
You zested today.
I did. I squeezed lemons and zested and made shortbread and watermelon jalapeno lemonade. Speaking of,
are you challenging Scratch Truck for that?
I was inspired by Scratch Truck. Right?
Uh huh.
So I'm doing lemon recipes today. So the jalapeno watermelon lemonade was very good.
Now is this for next week?
It's for next week. It's for next Friday.
So mm-hmm.
when life gives you lemons, make strawberry jalapeno lemonade, I guess.
Sweet. Or lemon sours if it's off work hours.
I don't know if that all fit on a t-shirt.
What is life? Oh, well, it could.
Maybe make lemon bars then. That might fit on the
so
t-shirt.
For a
I'll pass one of those.
Have a lemon bar.
So for a plate, how many lemons did you have to go through?
I probably had like 18 lemons today, and I might have one or two left.
Okay.
So I don't know, to get a half a cup of lemon juice, you need maybe like two lemons, something like that.
And you zest just enough before the white stuff shows up.
That's right.
Two
teaspoons of lemon zest right there.
That's gold.
These are very yummy.
Well, good. Thank you.
You get a little lemon right off the top, and then after a few seconds, then the shortbread hits you, that rich, buttery shortbread. Very cool.
And as Abdul Hakim Shabazz put it on his Facebook page, he always wondered, did mammies really like shortening bread?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote it. I didn't write it.
Mommy's Little Baby's Maybe Left Short Name.
Right. Thank
That's
you.
That's how it goes.
Right. Another spiritual.
Just saying.
No, it's true. Now, in today's paper, you talk about something that I know is consumed by a lot of people when it's movie night at the house.
That's right. And Friday night movie night, you have to make a pizza, right?
You do make a pizza. So what brought on the pizza article?
Well, it's basketball time, and people are home watching basketball, and that's kind of what we thought. Well, you know, you're a lot of people watching basketball. You want to make a pizza for your basketball watching get together, right?
Now, we're trying to come up with stuff other than spicy meat in a tube or a pepperoni.
Yeah. I mean, you could have good pepperoni, you could have good sausage, you could quality ingredients. That was one of the points that the pizza maker extraordinaire Tyler Harold said.
And where does one get good pepperoni in town?
Well, you could start by asking around at Ose Goose the Market and mm-hmm. ask for some of their Italian sausage or this type of smoked meats that they have at Smoking Goose.
Very good, very good.
That'd be where I would start.
Okay. Now, you personally, what do you like on your pizza?
Depends on where I'm getting my pizza.
Okay, home. If you're getting a movie and you're there with John and you've rented Melancholia, and you're gonna make a pizza at home, what would you put on it? And what is he like? And do you have to do halves? We do a lot of fractions.
We do a lot of halves because my daughter does this. She would like to have a half with cheese. Mm-hmm. And John would probably like to have a half with pepperoni and sausage. Mm-hmm. And then we have a vegetarian kid, the one who's at IU. So now we get the veggie delight pizzas or whatever they're called. So it's better really if we make two pizzas, you know.
That's a good safe call.
Pepperoni sausage, cheese and veggies, you know.
What do you like on yours?
Black olives and mushrooms and green peppers. Maybe I would get that if I was ordering.
Very good.
Yeah.
Now, if you were on the road, if you're traveling, where do you like to go for pizza? No pressure.
If I was ordering a pizza?
If you were ordering a pizza, yes.
Well, we used to order from Circle City Pizza.
And
it
yes.
would be the pepperoni sausage and extra cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And they're cut in squares, right? So it's not like a pizza slice. It's
Correct.
A pizza square. So we used to like those, but it's not in our neighborhood anymore. So too bad for us.
They don't deliver that far?
No, nothing handy.
You called and asked?
Nothing handy, right?
Road trip. Dude, we got a road trip, man. We got to get pizza.
Oh, dude.
So,
Pizza King is always popular, though, around the house. Pizza King, Royal Feast, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have in Richmond, there is a place, Clara's. And
very similar to Pizza King. Yes,
there is Pizza King inside, but in the restaurant in Richmond, there is a double-decker bus. And it's a big deal to get a table inside the bus. Yeah. Guess kids film correspondent is desperate to eat inside the bus. So that's...
You should take her in. Get her a table inside the bus.
That's what we're trying to do, except every time we're there, there are people at the table. And if I try to go up and go, hey, can you leave so we can have this table? That doesn't go over well. Doesn't end good, as Emma would say. So don't like it. So what when you're watching a movie, mm-hmm. what treats do you like?
I was going to ask the same thing.
That's why I ask, because I'm the host.
Well, it wouldn't be lemon bars, honestly. It wouldn't be something sweet. It would be something crunchy and salty, you know, potato chips and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Rather than sweet.
Good to know. Good to know. Chocolate-covered potato chips?
Chocolate, salty, crunchy, that would be great. Yeah, chocolate-covered pretzels, maybe.
Chocolate-covered
bacon. They hold up better than the potato chips?
I'm sorry, Julian. Excuse me for a second. You have peanut butter jalapeno bacon cheeseburgers, and you're about ready to crack on chocolate-covered bacon?
No, I'm not. I will try it. I will gladly try chocolate-covered bacon. Why don't you bring me some chocolate-covered bacon next time you bring me some fudge?
Do you know how much... Shut up. Do you know how expensive chocolate-covered bacon can be?
Well,
no,
if you start with good bacon.
Yeah. Well, there is. I know there is. You can get it wrapped. There is a chocolate brand that sells it. This is. I wish I could remember what it's called because they used to sell it over at Taste on College, but they also had others where you could have pepper flakes. You could have chocolate pepper flakes or Indian spices. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Moe's Bacon Bar. That's what you're thinking of.
Thank you.
Moe's Bacon Bar. You can get a chocolate bar that has bacon in it.
There's a bacon bar?
There's a bacon bar.
Oh, man.
Yes, that's the chocolate-covered bacon. Seriously, you got to go to Taste. First off, best fries in town. Best palm frites in town. Cheddar bacon, cheddar biscuits and gravy. Quite good. Then you want a nap after having lunch or breakfast or brunch.
You have to get the Balt. If you're going to Taste, bacon, avocado, lettuce, and tomato. My personal favorite.
Oh.
With the frites.
Yeah, with the frites. Or truffle frites. Truffle frites are a little more expensive, but they're quite good. So
Quite.
See, if I'd known we were going to be talking about this, I'd have worn the T-shirt that Miss Randall got me the other day. It says, bacon makes everything better.
It does. Bacon tastes good.
Pork chops taste good.
Sewer rat may taste like pumpkin pie, but I will never know because I won't eat the filthy. All right, let's stop quoting Pulp Fiction. But yes, there is a bacon bar. You should go look for it, smart guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go look for it.
With fudge.
I'm not going to find any. I'll look up and down, but I won't find any fudge here.
You know what? You choose not to look for it.
Whatever.
You ever try putting bacon on pizza, on your pizzas when you make them at home?
Yes.
I always keep the bacon
good.
Pieces.
Right, a little crumbled up bacon?
Oh, yeah. I always keep
that. Like a Basbo pizza. Yeah. That has some bacon on it.
Oh.
Right? Quattro formaggio, right?
I put whole strips on the damn pie. You know what? You put it in the oven, it'll cook.
It will. Oh, man. I haven't been Basbo in forever.
Basbo's good.
Yeah, it is.
Boy, the only thing, you know what? It's like college. Dude, we should just quit the show and go eat. All right. We got enough time. Good sport. You're just like my wife. Good sport. We got enough time just to do a little bit of Into the Archive, which is this is where I talk about a film that is not available in stores, but you can go order it on a certain movie studio's website, and they'll burn you a disc, or as Kobe likes to put it.
Hang on a sec. I've got some intro music for it.
Really?
Yeah.
And now it's time for
I Will Burn It For You, $5.
What?
Yeah, that went over well.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about the 1988 comedy Switching
Editing
Channels.
On the fly.
Yeah, Switching Channels. And this was a late 80s cable TV version of His Girl Friday, or The Front Page. It starred Kathleen Turner, Burt Reynolds, and Christopher Reeve. Reynolds plays the head of the CNN, or I'm sorry, oh, it's not CNN, it's some other 24-hour news network. He's the Cary Grant character. His ex-wife, played by Kathleen Turner, she's Rosalind Russell, not really, but she is the Rosalind Russell character, and she's engaged to be married to a sports equipment tycoon played by a bleach blonde Christopher Reeve, who's, I hate to say it, more handsome than Ralph Bellamy. It's directed by Ted Kotcheff, who gave us North Dallas 40 and Uncommon Valor. It's an interesting point to watch because it does have some of the frantic energy, not nearly as close as His Girl Friday or even The Front Page, either version, the one with Pat O'Brien or the one with Matthau and Lemon. I think it's better than the Matthau and Lemon one, even though that was directed by Billy Wilder. But it was interesting to see Reynolds in a comedy, and this was 1988. He hadn't done a comedy in almost a decade. You know, he was kind of stuck in mediocre action movies, which I still own and love, and that's the cross I will bear. And also, Turner hadn't really done a comedy since The Man with Two Brains, the Steve Martin comedy from 1982. So, interesting piece. You could watch it as a companion piece to His Girl Friday or The Front Page. Doesn't hold a candle to either, but it's an interesting footnote to watch nonetheless. So, Kobe, do we have some words to live by?
We do.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
You can go pick up today's Indianapolis Star and check out Jolene Kessberg's write up on pizza. Next week is Lemons. Jolene, thank you for hanging out with the boys.
Thanks for having me on, Matt. It was a great time. Lots of fun.
Mike Perry, branding, development, lots of stuff coming up. We got the radio drive next month.
Yeah, yep, and Sunday night, catch
Downton Abbey Behind the Drama.
A Kobe Slagle production directed by yours truly.
Yes.
Is George Clooney and Judy Greer in that? All right, until next time. Oh, Rumors tonight and tomorrow at Scottish Rite Cathedral. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. And have some good food with it. Quality versus quantity. I lose. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
We gone! We'll be right back.